for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 26th, 1997. Final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the morning.
Again today, for this precious day, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live another day and to be here, Lord, together and to go into the Scriptures, Lord, and learn about You, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us this morning as we teach the Word, Father. Open our hearts to receive it. And, Lord, give us the engrafted Word, You said, that's able to save our souls. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe the Lord's coming? Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming. He is. He has come. He is coming. He shall come. Amen. Praise God. You know, Jesus is going to come literally. Do you believe that?
Yes.
From heaven. He's going to come gloriously from heaven. He's going to come physically. How many believe there's a man at the right hand of the Father today?
Yes.
Amen. And He's coming visibly and He's coming personally from heaven. The Bible teaches that. Jesus is coming in fire and He's coming with fire. He's coming in the saints. I mean, no, that's now. And then He's coming with the saints, those that went on to be with Him. He's coming in clouds. We are those clouds. And He's coming with the clouds. Amen? Hallelujah. That's all Scripture if you know the Bible. Now, how many believe that we need, there are three things I want to first start with here. We must be looking for His coming. I mean, that's an expectancy. We must love His coming or His appearing. And we must be like Him when He comes or when He appears. Look in Hebrews 9. Let's start today in Hebrews 9. Praise God. I hope you got some fingers this morning. I mean, thank God for your fingers. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9. You know, there are three comings here in Hebrews 9. Three appearings, I should say. Three appearings. In verse 26, let me give you the three here. Hebrews 9:26. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. How many know that was Jesus the prophet who came and died? Amen? And then in verse 24, for Christ is not, thank you, David, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Everybody say now. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. How many know He's our high priest today? Interceding for us now. He is appearing there now. So He came as a prophet. He appears as our high priest. Then verse 28. How many believe He's coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords? So Christ was once offered, verse 28, to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, hallelujah, shall He appear. Notice, the second time, not third or fourth time, the second time. How many believe He came one time before? And yet it says He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's full salvation. Spirit, soul, and body. How many know we've been justified in our spirit? Now we're being sanctified in our soul if we're moving in God. And then we shall be glorified. Hallelujah. And even changed in our bodies. Do you believe that? So we must look for Him. Then look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 19. You know, many times we get accused of not believing in the coming of the Lord because we don't believe in the imminent rapture. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is coming. I tell you, He's coming. In Philippians 3. Verse 20, for our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. Literally, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our, what kind of body? Our vile body, the body of humiliation. Our vile body, that it may be fashioned. Hallelujah. Like unto his glorious body. How many want a body like he has? A glorious body. According to the working whereby he's able to even subdue all things unto himself. So we must look for that return and that appearing of the Lord. Then the second thing, we must love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 4:8. I believe those that love God are those that really love his appearing. Those who love God will love his appearing. Did you hear that? 2 Timothy 4:8, it says this. It says, Paul, let's go back to verse 6. Paul is talking here. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. How many believe that Paul had fought this good fight? Paul had been faithful, and Paul had finished. I'm going to say those again. He fought the good fight. He was faithful, and he finished his course. Amen? Anybody want to finish your course? Anybody want to finish your testimony? Hallelujah. I have kept the faith, he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. This is the victor's crown. Praise God. A crown of what? What is the crown? Righteousness. Now, this is different from the garment of salvation or righteousness, I mean, imputed righteousness. This is the righteousness that came because of growth and maturity and faithfulness unto God, overcoming, and a lot of things we could go in and talk about. But Paul said, because that he had been faithful, and he had fought, and had finished. And how many know there's some warfare to this thing? Isn't that right? You're going to fight the fight of faith, aren't you? Praise God. In order to finish your course. But then he said, this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me when? When's he going to give it to us? At the rapture? No. At that day. You see, the rapture, people teach, we're caught out of here, and then we're in heaven 7 years and come back, you know, in the day of the Lord. No, there's not two comings like that. There's only one more coming. Amen? And that's the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you know your Bible. I was in that. I come out of that teaching. Praise God. Jesus, when Jesus comes, he's coming back to the earth. Praise the Lord. Even if there would be a catching up to meet the Lord in the air, if there would be a physical thing, it would not be going to meet the Lord and going off somewhere. It'd be brought back down. Because the Lord is descending from heaven to this earth. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Now, look at this verse. He says, though, the latter part there in that verse, he says, but unto all them, well, okay, let me go back and get the righteous, he shall give me at that day that crown, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So those that love his appearing will also receive this crown of righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that going to be a blessing? Amen. All right, then we must be like him when he comes. Let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, and look at verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, that's you and me. Now are we the sons of God. The word sons there is children. It's technon. It's a word for children. Now we're the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he's pure. So as this purification is going on, God is bringing the people into his likeness, into his image. Amen? And when Jesus appears, there will be a people that will be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the work God's done within our hearts and within our souls. Amen. So we must look for his appearing. We must love that appearing. And we must be like him when he appears. Now, and if we do look and love and be like him, then look in 2:27 there in John. 1 John 2:27. Notice what it says here. I believe it's 2:27. No, maybe it's 2:28. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. That word confidence means boldness. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. God didn't want us to be ashamed when he comes. Amen? So if we're looking for him, if we love his appearing, and if we're liking when he comes, how many of you will not be ashamed? Hallelujah. Amen? Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. You know, I believe many have majored on leaving the earth instead of Jesus coming back to the earth. How many know that the real story is he's coming back to the earth? Amen? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 9. And notice what it says. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, as he what? As he went up. Well, if you go up, how many know he's going to descend, isn't he? Hallelujah. Now, watch this. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I wonder if it was Elijah and Moses. I can't prove it. I don't know who they were. You know? But they appeared with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. It could be. I don't know. I can't prove it. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the what? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Praise God. So men saw Jesus leave the earth. Isn't that right? Men saw him leaving. Men will see him coming. Hallelujah. He left the Mount of Olives. The Bible said in Zechariah 14, his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. A cloud took him out of their sight. And how many know a cloud will bring him back? Amen. He ascended and he shall descend. Hallelujah. From heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. Amen? Praise God. How many believe that? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's see, first of all, how he's coming. Jesus, number one, he's coming in clouds. Now, I want to show you this. Go to Revelation 14. You know there's a lot about his coming in the book of Revelation. Do you know that? Praise God. You know, many... Well, before we go to... Well, no, we'll go to 14. Many try to preach the rapture in chapter 4, but you can't preach it. John was caught up in the Spirit. His body was still on the Isle of Patmos. He's a picture of the man-child. The man-child in Revelation 12:5 is called to the throne. It's the overcomer. And many try to preach chapter 4. I was taught that years ago, but it's just not true. It's a physical rapture. But in the Spirit, John was caught up there. How many know today our bodies could be here and we could be caught up to God? Do you know that? You don't have to die to be caught up to the Lord or to the throne. You could be there today and your body could still be here. But in chapter 14, though, here is the coming of the Lord. And look in verse 14. 14:14. And we see something. This cloud. It says, I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Now, I'll touch that word white later. A white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man. Who is that? That's Jesus. How many believe he's the Son of God and Son of Man? And yet he's raising up a son, not only sons of God, but the Son of Man company. Amen? Behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. And notice here, he only has one crown here. And in his hand, what? A sharp sickle. Next verse. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, the last feast we're entering into is tabernacles. How many know that's the great end gathering? That's the great harvest. And God is going to save as many people as he can save throughout the world. And I tell you what, I believe many are going to be saved from every nation. Can you hear what I'm saying? Praise God. I can show you scripture. For the nation. Look, friends, look in Revelation 15. Look in Revelation 15. I believe this is, verse 4. It said, who shall not fear thee, O Lord God, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Now look at the next part. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. How many know God's going to affect the nation? Now go to hold your place. Go to Zechariah 2. I'm just giving you a couple of scriptures here. I can give you more. But in Zechariah 2, look at verse 10. Zechariah 2, verse 10. I believe this is where I want. Yes. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Verse 11, and many nations, hallelujah, shall be joined to the Lord. When? In that day, the day of the Lord, and shall be my people. I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. I'm going to tell you, God's going to pour out His Spirit, and there's going to be many thousands and millions saved. Hallelujah. Throughout the earth. I believe with all my heart. Amen? Regardless of what I hear and what I see. Praise the Lord. So He's coming. He's coming in clouds. Revelation 14 says, so let's go back there. We see again in Revelation 14:14 that He saw the cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, and then He reaps the earth, the great harvest of the earth. Now turn to Revelation 1:7. Revelation 1:7. And the Scripture says in Revelation 1:7, behold, He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see. Now, how that's going to happen, how many know? God only knows. Amen? And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. So, He's coming with clouds. Now, what kind of clouds are they? Turn to Matthew 24. Let's see what kind of clouds we're dealing with. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. How many thank God for the Word today? Amen. Matthew 24, 29. Matthew 24, 29. Jesus said these words. These are the words from the lips of Jesus. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You believe He's going to shake the demonic powers in the heavenlies? You better believe it. He's going to bring them down. And then shall appear, notice, and then, after the tribulation, then shall appear the sign that asking for the sign in the earlier chapter there. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, where? In heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in what? Now, what's He coming in?
Clouds.
Clouds of what? Clouds of heaven. These are heavenly clouds. Let me see that. Not rain clouds. Not rain clouds. Heavenly clouds. With power and great glory. How many believe that He's coming in His clouds represent His glory? It represents angelic hosts. It represents the saints of God. It represents His witnesses. Amen? How many know we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says? And you know what? You know what, brother? Those that went on cannot be made perfect without us. Did you hear that? How many know He's perfecting the people there as well as here? And He'll bring us together. Do you believe that? Then look at verse 31. Then it says, as He comes in this clouds of heaven, it says, and He shall send His angels, His messengers, with a great sound of a trumpet. That trumpet is the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet the Bible talks about. And what is the trumpet? It's a message, isn't it? Hallelujah. And they shall gather together His elect, or His chosen, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But Mark says, Mark 13 says, from heaven and earth. He's gathering, of course, this people. Praise God. All right, now look in chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 64. Matthew 26, 64. I never cease to get tired of preaching on the coming of the Lord. It's one of the greatest messages there are. Hallelujah. Because there's hope that Jesus will be back. Amen? And I believe He'll be here. You know, a lot of people don't believe Jesus will come literally. And it's that's a lie. He will come literally from heaven. Hallelujah. I've heard them teach it and say it, and I just don't agree with it. 26:64, Jesus said to him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory. Coming in the clouds of heaven. Go to Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 26. Mark 13, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to verse 25. He said, it's kind of like Matthew was talking about. He said, the stars of heaven shall fall. The powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect or His chosen. Notice from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Praise God. Now, I want to show you this in Ephesians 1:10. Turn to Ephesians. We'll see this in Ephesians. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:10. And Paul said here in the Scripture that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, notice that, now this is important, all things that are in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So those that are in Christ, that's in the heavens, and those that's in the earth, he's going to bring us together. How many believe it? He'll gather us together. Amen? Hallelujah. Then, if you will, look in Mark 14. There, Mark 14, 62. Mark 14, 62. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said in Mark 14, 62, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then we go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Told you need some fingers. Daniel 7. Now, Daniel saw this in a vision. And he said, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man. Who is that? It's the Lord. Came, notice he came with the clouds of heaven. And then he comes to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and so forth. So he comes with clouds of heaven. Then we go to the familiar scripture in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. And then I want to tell you five things here. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. That means those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. How many thank God he rose? Hallelujah. Amen. Even so them also which sleep or who have died in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. So there's going to be somebody living. Amen. When Jesus comes. You believe that? That we which are alive and remain even unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall what? Come on. Descend. He ascended. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. That's a victory shout. With the voice of the archangel. With the trump of God. Notice there's the trump again. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice the dead in Christ. So those that are in Christ shall rise first. Now, the dead in Christ can be those who have actually died, but how many know Colossians talks about those that are dead who are walking around on their feet? How many know we're dead to sin, self, and the world? Amen, and flesh. We should be. And we're learning to overcome. Amen. Verse 17. Now, look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, where? In the clouds. Now, these are not rain clouds. Again. To meet the Lord, where? In the air. The word air is not the same word as spirit, but it's close, but it's not the same word. But the word air means environment. It's the air from the mountains down. Praise God. How many know I'm breathing some of that stuff today? How many ever get caught up here in the air, right where we are? In the Lord. Amen? You know, Satan is a prince of the power of what? The air. Amen? And yet, Jesus said, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Then what did he say here? Let's see what else he said. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That doesn't mean in the air. That doesn't mean in the natural air, does it? Amen? And doesn't mean we're going to live eternally in heaven either. I mean, no, Jesus is coming to the earth to rule and reign. Amen? And yet, I believe we'll explore the universe. I believe we'll explore, you know, the heavenlies, whatever. I mean, we're going to, it's not just, well, God knows what's going to happen. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I want to tell you five things. First of all, we know that the coming of the Lord is real. Amen? It will happen. Number two, we know that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air or in the clouds, the Bible says. And these, I believe these are clouds of witnesses and the angelic host and all that will be with the Lord. Three, it's in the time of the last trumpet that 1 Corinthians talks about, 15, and also Revelation 7, Revelation 11. This is the last trumpet, the last message that will be blown. It will change the people of God. And four, how many believe this is the resurrection? This is the resurrection starting here, right here. And there's a lot I can say about the resurrection I'm not going to say today. But But this is the starts the resurrection here. All right, number five is the day of the Lord. It's in the day of the Lord. Look in chapter 5 now. We read chapter 4, but look in chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that what? The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Okay? So we're dealing with the day of the Lord. You see, most preachers stop at verse 18. But Paul, how many know there's no chapter divisions in the Greek? No punctuations in the Greek. And so man put these chapter divisions in here. It helps us some, but yet he's talking about the day of the Lord. Now let's see of the day of the Lord. Let's go over to Zechariah 14. Let's look at this day of the Lord just a minute. I've studied this day of the Lord many times. And it's a tremendous study. Praise God. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, he says, behold the day of the Lord. How many know it's going to be his day? Man's had his day. God's going to have his. You believe it? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and notice, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against what? Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. How many believe that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, a lot of it? Right here. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day. What day? The day of the Lord. Upon the Mount of Olives. Where did he leave, brother, in Acts chapter 1? He left the Mount of Olives. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem and so forth. Okay? And then look in verse 5, the latter part of it. God shall come and all the saints with thee. He's going to bring the saints of God with him. Hallelujah. How many believe it? Amen. I believe it. Praise God. I believe it's going to happen. All right? So we see, first of all, he's coming in clouds. All right? Now, how many know that he's coming in glory? We saw a couple of scriptures already. But go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. The word affection means your mind. Set your mind, your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But how many know if we're not careful, we can reverse that. We can set our hearts on the things of the earth and forget about the heavenly things. Verse 3, for you're dead. Now here it is. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you don't have to be in the grave to be dead. Amen? Hallelujah. You can be around on your two feet. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in that glory. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you something about the glory. I mean, when the glory of God comes, or when Jesus comes in glory, or when we even experience the glory here, I mean, there's something else with glory. I want to show you what it is. Turn to Leviticus chapter 9. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 9. And look at verse 23. And how many know when God starts moving, the devil always starts moving? In chapter 9, we're going to see the glory. In chapter 10, we're going to see the false. But I'm not going to get into that chapter 10. But I'm just telling you. Jesus said to the devil, come on, he said, get behind me, Satan. That literally means follow behind me. And I can see a pattern. Acts chapter 4, when they brought all their money and let the apostles' feet. Chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied about their money. Remember that? Huh? Chapter 6 of Revelation, the white horse rider goes forth. That's Christ. That's not Antichrist. I was taught it was Antichrist. It is not Antichrist. It's Christ. It's the gospel. It's the truth going forth, conquering. And then we'll follow the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Now here in Leviticus chapter 9, look at verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And notice, the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came something with this glory. Come on. Fire. So when the glory comes, the fire is going to be there. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the altar, the burnt offering, the fat. How many know we need some fat consumed? Which when all the people saw it, notice, they shouted and fell on their faces. Hallelujah. Brother, when the glory comes, you don't have to push anybody down or knock anybody down. They're going to be down. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've seen enough of that knocking down stuff. Amen. I've seen a lot of people fall out that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Listen, when God hits you, you're going to be down. Hallelujah. Amen. And you won't be hurt either. Amen. Look in Exodus chapter Exodus chapter 24 now. Exodus 24. I remember one night a lady come here and we prayed for her. She hit the floor and her earrings bounced off her ears. She hit so hard. But she wasn't hurt. But the power of God put her down there. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 24. Maybe God was talking to her about her earrings. I don't know. Exodus. I better not get on that, I guess. Okay. Exodus 24. You got three categories here. you have the elders and Aaron. They come up in a certain level in this chapter and fellowship with God. Then you have Joshua. He's with Moses. He goes up to another level and he stops. And then you have Moses who goes on up higher. You have a 30, a 60, a 100-fold right here. And how many know there's three levels in Christianity? Out of court, holy place, and holy of holies. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Isn't that right? All right. Now, God has given me about 75 of those threes throughout the scriptures. And I tell you, God speaks in threes. Now, here it says in verse 13. Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said to the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again to you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered how many days? What's six the number of? Man. How many know we're in the sixth day from Adam? 6,000 years. How many believe God is moving? Because some believe we're right at the time of the seventh day, okay? Which I believe. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai and covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, where we're coming to, hallelujah, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like, what? Devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into that cloud, and he was there 40 days. Hallelujah. 6 days. Now listen, God had Moses to wait 6 days. God was preparing Moses to enter the cloud. And God's given us 6 days to prepare us to enter the cloud. The cloud's coming. The glory's coming. The fire's coming. Amen? We must get prepared. Amen? How many believe it? 2 Corinthians 7. One other scripture here now. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm just showing you with this glory comes the fire. The fire can be a blessing, but how many know it will burn up all the dross as well? 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, 2 Chronicles 7. What did I say? Corinthians? Well, they're pretty close. Not close together, but 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. I mean, Elijah prayed 63 words and the fire fell. Solomon prayed, the fire fell. Notice, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and notice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So when the fire fell, the glory came and filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled that house. Wouldn't you love to see it today? You just hold on. You just wait. I mean, oh, the glory is coming. Now, look in Psalms 102. Let's see now about this glory. He's coming in clouds. He's coming in glory. All right? Psalms 102. Psalms 102, verse 13. 102:13. And David said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. God has a set time to favor his people. Do you believe that? His grace. And brethren, if it wasn't for his grace, we wouldn't be here today. I mean, some of us would probably be in hell if it wasn't for the grace of God. 14. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory, when the Lord shall build up Zion. That's you and me. You believe he's building us up? When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah. And I believe that's within as well as without. Amen? Praise God. I do believe that. Then 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hope you get these scriptures down. Be good to study them on your own. 1 Peter chapter 5. I mean, no, this is a Bible school right here.
Amen.
Amen? Where the Word is going forth. But I don't know of any other place where they have the fivefold ministry in the, like they do here and teach the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder, Peter said. Peter was an apostle, but he's an elder. But how many know an apostle didn't come in and say, okay, move over, boys, I'm running the whole show. No, he was an apostle when he was out ministering in that capacity. But when he came into the local church, the local group, he was an elder with the other brethren. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partake of the glory of the what? The glory that shall be what? Revealed. All right, he said feed. That word feed means shepherd the flock of God, as elders which is among you, taking the oversight. How many know there's some overseers that need to be over the church? Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Don't just be in it for the money. Amen? And notice the word filthy lucre. How many know money's not filthy when it's made? It's clean. We make it filthy by our motives and our actions. Amen? And our covetousness. But of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Literally, it means don't be little ten gods. But being in samples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, hallelujah, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So we've seen the crown of righteousness, now we see the crown of glory. Listen, brethren, he's going to crown us with glory, especially, well, the people of God, especially the leaders who have been faithful to God. Amen? Praise God. We must be faithful to the Lord. And then Luke 21. I'll just give you this. Luke 21. Let's look at it. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 25. And Jesus again says in Luke 21, 25, something like we saw in Matthew, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. How many believe we already see those different signs already? Different, and there'll be more. And upon the earth, notice, upon the earth, distress of nations. Now, if the earth is not in that condition today, I don't know when it'll get there. Is there distress in the nations, brethren? Come on now, amen? And it's with perplexity. It's like there's no answer, no way out. Listen, God is the way out. Jesus is the way out. The sea and the waves roaring, not on natural seas, but humanity is tossed to and fro, amen? Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Redemption of the body. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Now, how many believe the Lord's not only coming in clouds and in glory, but He's coming in judgment? You believe that? Look in 2 Timothy 4, 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I'm going to show you some scriptures about how he's going to judge some things when he comes. 2 Timothy 4, 1. And it says here, Paul speaking to the church, to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. What does the word quick mean? Means alive, means quickened, okay? And the dead, he'll judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. How many know that when he appears, his kingdom will be here? How many know the kingdom is with God? The kingdom's in you, and yet he's setting up his kingdom, isn't he? Amen? How many believe that? Okay? Now, look in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Verse 15 and 16. Isaiah 66, verse 15 and 16. I think there needs to be more articles written on the coming of the Lord. Amen? Listen, I've got a lot of churches in place, and I never hear people talking about the coming of the Lord very much. But I'm telling you, He's coming. Hallelujah. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but He's coming. Amen? First of all, He needs to come in us today. Isn't that right? As we cry out for Him, He'll come in us today. He may not come out in the air today or tomorrow, but I'm telling you, He'll come in us. Verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire. There's that fire. And with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire. Now, what is a fire picture of? It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? For by fire and by the sword. Notice. Will the Lord plead with all flesh? And the slain of the Lord shall be many. How many see that? He's coming with fire. He's coming in that fire and with that sword. And yet he's pleading with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. Now look in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21. Praise God. 20 and 21. You need to study this whole chapter. There's a lot in Isaiah 26. So much in this chapter. Verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the tribulation or the indignation be overpassed. That's our prayer closet. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. He's coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Listen, great judgment's going to hit the earth when Jesus comes. Great destruction. Do you believe that? Look in chapter 27, verse 1 there. In that day, that same day, the day that when the Lord comes, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in humanity or the sea. Hallelujah. How many believe he's going to be put in the bottomless pit as well and then into the lake of fire? How many believe that? Glory. You know, Satan fell way back there from heaven. He's falling out of the heavens to the earth. He'll go in the bottomless pit, and then his final destination, and we'll all clap, hallelujah, the lake of fire. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, how many believe his coming is like a thief? Look back in Revelation 16. We talk about Jesus supposed to come in chapter 4, and yet we're over here in chapter 16 in the time of these great judgments, bold judgments. He hadn't come yet. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, 13. He's coming as a thief. What does it mean to come as a thief? How many know Jesus is not a thief? It means an element of surprise. His coming will be suddenly and quickly. How many know when a thief comes to break in a house, he never tells the people what time he's coming or when he's coming. Isn't that right? It'll be a surprise, won't it? Usually when they're gone or something. But here in verse 13, let's start back here, 16:13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. That's why I don't like frogs. They're a picture of demons. Amen? For they are the spirits of devils working what? Come on. Miracles. These are false miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth, and notice the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, right here, he had not come. He has not come. He said, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and will keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And then he gathers these to Armageddon, the last war, the battle of Armageddon. So we can see Jesus said that he would come as a thief. Then 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 2. Well, we'll look at verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You ever heard people say that? Oh, I've heard of his coming all my life. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are, what? They're ignorant. Amen? Of that, by the word of God, he said that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water and so forth. Then look down to verse 10. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening. Notice the word hastening. Hastening. Actually hurrying unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, he's coming as a thief. You could also put down that Revelation 3:3 as well if you want to put a... And 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 8, because the day of the Lord is coming is as a thief. Now, how many know he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we believe that? Turn to Revelation 19. And I want to show you several things here. I want to stay here a few minutes in this chapter and give you some things here. That's good. Praise God. Revelation chapter 19. Anybody getting bored? I hope not. Praise God. Shouldn't with this teaching. Amen. Revelation 19, we'll start with verse 11. I want to read a few verses, and I want to come back and tell you something about this chapter. Look at verse 9, please. Verse 11, chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, John said, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Now notice he has many crowns here. I mean, on chapter 4, there are those that throw the crowns at his feet. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture, what? Dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. That's why I tell you in chapter 6, the white horse rider is the Word of God. Okay? And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and so forth. And then in verse 19, he sees the beast and the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered there to make war against the Lord. The one that's on the horse and against his armies. Verse 20, then the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, that he had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, it says a white horse. Amen? You know the word white means dead white. It means dazzling white. It means light, radiant. It means that which radiates. It means bright or clear or gorgeous or goodly. And that means gay. It's a good word. Not like the word gay today. Amen? But white speaks of purity, holiness, righteousness, innocence, untainted. Hallelujah. And Jesus will come upon, it says, a white horse with his armies on white horses. Now, his mount, a white horse. I'm going to throw these out real quick. His title, he's faithful and true. He's Almighty God in this chapter. He's the Word of God. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. His warfare in this chapter, in righteousness, he doth judge and he makes war. How many believe he's the warrior? And he's smiting the nations. He's going to defeat the armies of Antichrist. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Can you see those blazing eyes when he comes? Judging the wicked. His head had many crowns upon it. His name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. His clothing, he has a vesture dipped in blood. I mean, thank God for his blood. His followers are the armies in heaven. And his mouth, the Bible said, a sharp sword comes out of his mouth. And we know he slays the remnant with that sword of his mouth. His rule, he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. And how many know he's got overcomers going to come forth to rule with him and under him? Amen? His feet, the Bible said, will tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. His Majesty's name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, so, we want to go on just a little further here and see something else. How many know that His coming is in two stages? Turn to Titus. Titus. Coming as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now His coming, we'll see, though, is in two stages, I believe. The Bible teaches it. I don't know if you've been taught it, but the Bible teaches it. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, look at verse 13 and 14. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Everybody there. What's the first word? Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. But what's the next word after hope? What's the next word? The next word after hope, what's the next word? And. Looking for the blessed hope, that's number one, and something else, that's two. What's the next? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. All right, first of all, he said, looking for the blessed hope. All right, let's see where the blessed hope is. Turn to Colossians. Colossians 1, 27. Let's see where the blessed hope is. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the... Where is this hope? It's in us, isn't it? Huh? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you. That's the hope, all right? Hallelujah. Then we look at another scripture on this. It's mentioned in 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. I mean, thank God for hope today. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:15. And here's what Peter says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope. That is where? Where's the hope at? In you with meekness and fear. All right, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Here's the last scripture I'll give you on this hope. Verse 2 and verse 3. We read it a while ago, but I want to read it again. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, where? Where's the hope at? In Him, purifies Himself. If that hope's in you, you're purifying. You're being sanctified. You'll see that purification is our responsibility. Amen? God will do it, but it's our responsibility to see that we're purified. And then He says, every man that hath his hope in Him purifies himself even as he is pure. So where's the hope? It's in us. It's Christ in us. That is the hope. So back in Titus. Looking for the blessed hope. That's the inward coming. That's Christ coming in us. Can you see that? Hallelujah. How many know that number two phase can't happen until number one took place? Amen? The literal coming of Jesus can't take place until, come on, the spiritual coming is taking place. He's coming today in us. He's coming tomorrow and next day. As we cry out to Him, He's coming. He's coming in us. Every day as we cry out to the Lord. Amen? And then he says, looking for that blessed hope. That, you see, there's an expectancy here, not only within, but even without. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So He will come not only out there, but He'll come within us. Amen? There's a people got to be conformed to His image, amen, and to His likeness. And once that happens, Jesus will appear, I can tell you. Praise God. How many believe it? And then, of course, now He will come quickly. Turn to Revelation 3. He will come quickly. Revelation 3. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He will come quickly. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Then in Revelation 22:7. Revelation 22:7. Says this, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, somebody said, well, I'm going to go over there and get it. Well, it says when he comes quickly, he's bringing it with him. Didn't Paul say he'd receive the crown in the day of the Lord, those that love his appearing? Huh? And Jesus said right here, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Hallelujah. And then in verse 20, he which testified these things says, surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So again, I want to emphasize, before I read one more chapter in just a minute. He's coming literally from heaven. He's coming gloriously from heaven, physically and visibly and personally from heaven. The Lord himself will come back to the earth. Hallelujah. All right, now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to close with this chapter. This is a large subject. Coming, Lord, there's so much to it. You can break all these scriptures down and preach on them if you wanted to. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to look at this chapter again. Because the day of the Lord is so important. How many has never studied on the day of the Lord? Be honest. Get your concordance and go throughout your Bible from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Study the day of the Lord, okay? I'll give you a couple of passages in just a minute when we finish here. But look in verse 1 now, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. He's saying we're not to be in darkness, that the day of the Lord would overtake us like a thief. You're all the children of light. It should be sons of light, actually, in the Greek. You're the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. How many know we've got to have the armor of God on?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For God, look at this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, that's full salvation, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wrath's coming on the wicked, not on the righteous. Amen? But God never told us that we wouldn't have tribulation. I mean, the devil's attacking the church. Tribulation's hitting the church. Amen? Affliction's hit the church. Trouble hits the church. God never said we wouldn't have that. But he said the wrath of God would not touch his people. It's coming on the wicked. And when is it? It's in the day of the Lord. Now, go over to Zephaniah. I'll give you several scriptures here. Praise God. Zephaniah. Chapter 2. We know where Zephaniah is. Right before Haggai. Zephaniah 1, actually. First, chapter 1. I want to show you several scriptures now on the day of the Lord, okay? How many know that we need to study the Old Testament just like the New Testament? How many believe this is one book, not just two books? It's one book, brethren. Don't ever exclude the Old Testament like people do. Zephaniah 1. If you want to study the New Testament, you've got to have a knowledge of the Old Testament. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 1. Okay? Look down with me to verse 14. Zephaniah 1, 14. It said, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even, notice, the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of what? Wrath. A day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess. Somebody said, don't preach that gloom and doom to me. Well, I mean, the day of the Lord is going to be gloomy to those that's not ready. And a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet. Now, here's that trumpet that the New Testament talks about. It's that seventh trumpet, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. That's pride. And I will bring distress upon all men. Upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Now look at verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. How many see that?
And the day of the Lord is not necessarily a
No, 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 no. No, that's right. In fact, I believe his coming. I mean, how many know we have not even come up to that day of the Lord yet? But I do believe, of course, now today, how many know God may be judging some today? Isn't that right? In that sense. But the day of the Lord, I believe, starts with the coming of the Lord, and I believe the day of the Lord goes 1,000 years. Hallelujah. All right? All right, he said, though, but notice what he said. He said that their silver and gold will not deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2 there. Let's see what he says in chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. That's the church. That's the true church. How many know that is the holy nation? Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, and before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, and before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. How many see that? Now we go to Isaiah 13. Praise God. I tell you, this day of the Lord needs to be taught. Isaiah 13. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 3. Now, when I teach Isaiah 13, I also teach Zechariah 10. The army of the Lord is in Zechariah, not only Joel 2, but Zechariah 10. But here in Isaiah 13, verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones, God says, I have called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations. Notice, gather together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country. Now, this is heaven. From the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Now, look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the stars of heaven. Now, this brings you back to Matthew 24. The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give it their light. The sun shall be darkened and it's going forth. The moon shall not cause your light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I mean, no, that's the day of the Lord. Now go to Malachi. Hallelujah. Malachi. Verse 5. I want to show you. How many know the Bible is right up to date where we live? Malachi 4, 5. Malachi 4, 5. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now, I don't deny that Elijah could be here. How many of Elijah has come, the man, in the Old Testament? I mean, Elijah also came in the form of John the Baptist. The spirit of Elijah was upon John the Baptist. We're not talking about reincarnation. But the same spirit that was upon Elijah was upon John. Isn't that right? And brethren, I believe that this end time Elijah people is an army. God's raising up. Brother Pittman was given some of that when he was taken up to heaven, to the gate of heaven. The Lord told him he was raising up this Elijah army. And I do believe it's an army. So Elijah has come, is come, and shall come. Okay? But here he said, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming. Now look at this. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It will be great to those that's ready and prepared. But it will be dreadful to those that's not. Can you hear that? All right, now watch this. And notice, he shall turn, this ministry of Elijah shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How many know that the problem today is in the home and in the church? And brethren, who's going to turn first? The fathers must turn to the children. Amen. You know, America's problem tonight is the fathers. Today. The problem in America is the fathers. If the fathers would get their heart right with God, come on. How many know families would get right with God? Amen. And the nation would turn around overnight and the church would get right with God. Hallelujah. How many believe that? And I believe this is not only natural children, but spiritual children as well, God says. And it's going to be in that time when this army is raised up, God is going to touch children again. Hallelujah. God's going to touch families and homes again and restore. Can you say amen? Now go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Praise God. Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Here in Joel 2, he talks about his army. But I just want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to show you this day of the Lord here. Verse 1. Blow you the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. Now, I want you to see the prophet said it's nigh at hand, and yet it hasn't happened. In the spirit, how many know there's no time or distance? See? And it's when we get out of the spirit that we don't see and realize the coming of the Lord is imminent. It's when we're in the spirit that we realize it. Amen? How many know we should live in the spirit? And the more we live in the spirit, the more the coming of the Lord will seem close to us. Okay? Verse 2. A day of darkness. Notice this day of the Lord is the day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. But look at this, though. Notice in the midst of the darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. So in the midst of darkness and gloominess, and all the negative, God has a people, hallelujah, that's like the morning. Amen? Praise God. He said right here, it's like as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great and a strong people, of course. Hallelujah. So God, and then he goes into about the army of the Lord here in chapter 2. And that is that strong people that he's speaking of. Praise the Lord. Okay, any questions? Yes, ma'am. Chapter 2 is the overcomer, says Shirley. Yeah, that's right. I believe that. Also, Zechariah 10, Revelation 14. You know, that's just a few scriptures. Also, I believe that as God's army in Revelation 6, that when a white horse rider goes forth, I believe those are overcomers. It's because they go forth conquering, the Bible says. And so there's many scriptures. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, and Proverbs talks about. And it is a company of people, a remnant, that is God's army. Yes. Somebody else. Brother? I'm sorry, I still can't hear you. The view? Oh. I don't use the word rapture, but I use the word resurrection. There's a difference. You know, otherwise, I use that word, okay, instead of rapture. I don't see the Bible, rapture is the word of God. It's not used in the scripture, you know. Now, I know the word rapture is not a bad word if you look in the dictionary, because it means ecstatic, means joy, and other things. But I use the word resurrection instead of rapture, okay? But I don't think the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation or the middle of the tribulation, like some teach. The coming of the Lord will be at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the trouble. And then, if there is, as I said today, even if there would be a lift up to meet the Lord in the air, it would come right back down if that would happen. But I'm not, how many of us see the world as we see it round, right? Well, we're going this way. How many know somebody in our mind would be going this way and down, right? How many know today in Australia, up to them would be this way? To us, it's this way. Yeah, so, you know, don't put so much in the physical, okay? Don't do that. I get caught up right here in the air where I'm living. Hallelujah. But Jesus is coming. That's the main thing. That's what we should see more than anything. Okay, brother. Yeah, I think it's that, they're in Revelation 20, 4 through 6. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think so. No. Well, how long it'll last, God only knows, Joel. I don't know how long that will last. We'll just have to wait and see. Amen. To the unsaved, yes. To the unsaved, it would be. Because even in Zechariah 14, those that do not come up and worship the Lord in that day, it says there'll be no rain upon their land. Otherwise, they'll not have the blessing of God. So in that sense, it would probably apply to them, you see. Yes, Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews, what, 10 or 11? Let's go there. Hebrews 11, I think it is, Fern. I believe it's chapter 11. Let me see here. Maybe it's 10. Hallelujah. Okay, look at chapter 11. In verse 39, he's talking about these heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, 39. And these all, having obtained a good report, got a good report card, through faith, receive not what?
the promise. But look at verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, those heroes of faith, without us should not be made perfect or complete. Let me see that. Well, yes, I believe they're learning. Look at verse chapter 12. Now look at chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and so forth. I believe that they see, I believe they see things in the spirit. I don't believe they see what we're doing in the natural. But I do believe they see the overcoming. How many of there's no devil where they're at today? Those that have died, there's no devil. The devil is against you and I that are here. Isn't that right? And so, but as we learn to overcome, I think they're also learning in the spirit. Okay? And how many know they're saying, sick them? Hallelujah. Go for it. Okay?
I don't think we'll ever come to a fullness of learning.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either, but I'm saying, though. But yet, God is doing a work there yet in us, too. See? That's right. No, I think we'll always be learning. Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, thank God for that. Amen, sister? Yes, yes. I want to give you a scripture on that, too. Yes, I believe it's the wicked, mainly there. Who else had a hand up? We'll go into that. Okay, just a minute. Okay, go to 2 Thessalonians. Let me give you one more scripture here. I didn't bring this out earlier. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It tells us right here something that will answer you, I think, there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. Now here, notice, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? That know not God. But notice the next part. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was among you was believed in that day. Okay, brother, what was your question? Back here. God's not going to... Here's the thing. Not all humanity is going to be destroyed. There's going to be people living in the millennium that are not saved. You know that. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm not.
We were discussing about the army of the Lord.
Praise God.
Irma's father was a preacher for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had a small farm in northeastern Missouri, out from Quincy. And he had 40 acres. He was plowing a bean field one fall. And going back and forth across the bean field, and over on at the fence row was the timber.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed as he was going back and forth across the field, something began to appear in the sky over the timber over here.
It's gone.
And as he watched, an army of horsemen began to appear in the sky.
Praise the Lord.
And it came down over the bean field, and he said it was about 20 feet over the land that he was plowing. And the head horseman was a white horse with a man dressed in white with black boots on and a flaming sword.
Hallelujah.
I take that to be the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He was the head horse.
Mm-hmm.
And him behind him was horses as far as the eye could see, eventually came into sight. And in one rank was black horses.
Mm-hmm.
In another rank was gray horses. In another rank was another color. And these ranks of horses were multitudes of horses.
Praise God.
With riders on them. And for several turns across the bean field, that vision was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, I'd have stopped that tractor and I'd have walked over there. So I might have got knocked on my face, but I'd have walked over there. He said, Jesus raised his hand with his sword like this, like that, and his horse raised up and went off like this.
Hallelujah.
Into the sky, and the rest of the horses followed in rank.
Hallelujah.
Behind him and disappeared.
Praise God.
Well, now, that's one vision of the army of the Lord.
Amen.
But do you realize this morning that we've had a teaching here, or at least to me, that I have never heard before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I heard a teaching like this on the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to me, this is a teaching in a right prospectus
Amen.
To what the Scripture teaches.
Amen. Amen.
So, and this is a great difference
mm-hmm.
between what we've been taught of a so-called rapture
Amen.
And what the Word says about
Amen.
The coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
If you want to study, if some of you ought to, because
mm-hmm.
of some questions I have heard this morning,
mm-hmm.
you ought to study the history of the rapture.
That's right.
You should get your Encyclopedia Britannica,
right.
and you'll find everything about it right there
Amen.
In your encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up either Rapture or Margaret MacDonald,
mm-hmm.
either one. They're
mm-hmm.
both listed in your
mm-hmm.
encyclopedia,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find the history of the so-called rapture of the church.
Amen.
Which is absolutely unbiblical,
Amen.
And it came through the vision of a girl who was given to mesmerism.
Right.
It says right in it that she was given to visions of mesmerism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it came from in the 1830s. And then
mm-hmm.
Darby picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Darby picked it up and made a doctrine out of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And then Schofield picked it up
mm-hmm.
and put it in a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And Schofield wrote his Bible while he was in prison
mm-hmm.
for... He was the second judge, federal judge, ever... impeached.
Mm-hmm.
Schofield is the second judge that was ever impeached, and the third one was just down in Florida here three or four
right,
years ago.
Right.
And he was impeached for being a scoundrel, for taking bribes,
mm-hmm.
and for other things, and he was imprisoned for that.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in prison, he got associated with a Lutheran preacher who was who didn't believe in salvation. He believed in what we now call
humanism.
What's the teaching of higher criticism?
Oh. Okay.
He was a teacher of higher criticism, and Darby and him became friends. And between them, that the Darby or the Schofield Bible was written while he was serving a prison term when he was evicted. Removed from his federal judgeship.
Boy, man.
Need to study history a little bit.
Amen.
Not take everything for what you hear
Amen.
Or what somebody tells you.
Amen.
Study for yourself and find out.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Margaret MacDonald.
Yeah, Margaret. Also, there used to be some little pamphlets over here. You got some right there, Joel? On the rapture. And also, I have a few books on my back table back there on the rapture. Go ahead, Glenn. Yeah. Anyway, this is Bill Britton put this out. It's called The Rapture of the Church. Who is it? And it's a good little pamphlet. And then Speed Wilson has a book. Speed has a book there. Also.
And in this book, Speed has $10,000 in a bank account that has been there for several years,
mm-hmm.
and it's available to anybody who can dispute this book.
Amen. So we have these two if you want to get them. And also, like I say, I have a few on my table back there on The Rapture. And I think it will help you. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. May the Lord bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Let's stand and give the Lord praise for His Word this morning and for His camp meeting. Father, we thank You for everything, Lord, that You've spoken to us in this camp meeting, for all the Word that's went forth and the deliverance, the healings. Lord, the prophetic Word, everything, Lord, that You've done. And we thank You. We give You honor and praise, Lord. And Lord, we believe that in July it will be even a greater camp meeting, Lord. As we assemble back, Lord, with many other people and other ministries, Father, we ask Your hand to be upon Lake Hamilton, Lord, and upon, Lord, all the people here that work here, Lord, and all the help, Father. We ask You to bless this camp spiritually, mentally, physically, Lord, financially. We ask You to bless the people here that's come, Lord. We ask You to protect them as they go home, Father, as they travel. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. And we ask You to not only, Lord, take them home, but, Lord, let them use the things that they've learned here and Lord, share with other people. Let there be an impartation not only in their lives here, but, Lord, also where they go. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Everybody study for yourself.
Amen. Study for yourself. That's right. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.